Good morning, Poplar Springs. Good morning. It's so nice to hear you all talking and getting to see each other. We only have a few announcements today, and they're the same ones we've had before. Youth and Bible study are happening on Wednesdays, so if that's something you would like to join and come back to, please just bring your mask. Adult Bible study is in the sanctuary at 6. Deacons, you guys have a meeting at 5 today, and that's all of the announcements we have. Gilia is going to be playing a prelude for the next few weeks after the announcements, and so we invite you at this time to quiet your minds and quiet your heart and join us as we worship.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Good, good, oh, good, good, oh, 'cause you are good, good, oh, 'cause you are good, so good, oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome
here. Good morning, Poplar Springs. My name is Sharon Carey, and I'm the Deacon of the Week. So if you need anything this week and can't get hold of one of the staff members, feel free to give me a call. This week, we'd like to remember Daniel Green. He's a relative of Martha Frazier and Janice Brumley, a friend of Heather Wright's, and, of course, the family of Sharon Hall and all of the Garden Web family as they lost both a professor and a student this week. We'd also like to praise God for Erica Bowling Runyon. She had a baby, which would be the grandbaby of a great-grandbaby of our Ray Wilson here in the congregation. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the many, many blessings that you have given us. Lord, even through the trials of life, you have blessed us in more ways than we can even imagine. Lord, I just thank you for the big blessing of comfort, the way that you comfort those that are sick and those that are fighting all kinds of afflictions. Lord, the way that you comfort those that have great loss in their lives. Lord, you comfort us with the promise that our life begins eternity when we accept you as Jesus and as Savior of our lives. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that comes in and tells the truth of your word to our lives. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be welcome in our hearts today, that our hearts would be open and ready for the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you so much for being here with us. We love you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 14, verses 13 through 23. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Kind of a interesting passage of Scripture today, and I've said this about every passage from Romans I've preached on over the past couple of weeks. There's more here than I can deal with. So y'all pray for me today as we share this little bit of information. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll speak to us today. Perhaps after we study this passage of Scripture, there'll be more questions than answers, but maybe that's good. Maybe we need to struggle a little bit. Help us, Father, to look to you for guidance and direction. Help us not to be judgmental or nor to flaunt our freedom in Christ, but to seek peace and to live the life that pleases you and do all things out of love. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. A few years ago, could be something like 40 years ago, I was an RA leader at Wake Forest Baptist Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina. You know, it was one of those things where they said, Andy, nobody else will do it. And I said, well, the Lord has called me evidently, so I'll do that. I was young, I was energetic, and I was fresh. It was about 40 years ago, so I was that way, looking for great memorable experiences for my kids, my 11 and 12-year-olds. I wanted to enlighten them a little bit. So what do you do? What do you do with them? You take them on a hike. You go on a hike. I decided a nice outing in the woods would be good. It'd be something nice for us to do. So I secured the church van, went through the proper procedure and did that. I took the group to Eno River State Park. Anybody familiar with Eno River? Nobody. Okay. It's a beautiful river in Durham, and it's a beautiful place. We found a trail, and we started walking on the trail. We hiked a mile or so when we came to a river crossing, obviously the Eno River. No bridge, just rocks strategically placed by nature. They were there, rocks placed by nature across the expanse of the river. We had a way to get across, kind of. I led the group as we began hopping from stepping stone to stepping stone. And then it happened. I had an encounter with a stumbling block. I found a stumbling block. It could have been a rock covered with dried moss. You ever stepped on a rock that's covered with dried moss and the wet on your feet gets on it? One time at DuPont State Park, I made a show. It was ugly. I looked like I was figure skating. But it was something else. But it could have been a rock covered with dried moss that was reactivated in the slickness by the water on my feet. It could have been an unsteady stone that shifted when I stepped on it. You know, it looked steady, but underneath there were some other little tiny rocks that kind of made it unsteady. It could have been a sharp rock that I didn't offer much to balance on, but once I committed my foot to it, I was done. So that was what it was. Nevertheless, I found the stumbling block as I crossed over. I fell in the water. I fell in the water, obviously, and it was cold. It was cold. My hand felt strange, and I gazed down to see my finger. I looked at my finger. It was disfigured. It was twisted. It was dislocated, and I was nauseated. I was nauseated. I'm not real manly on things like that. I kind of have a hard time with blood and needles and disfigurement of limbs. They kind of get the best of me. It was then I went from fearless leader to sickened adult. To sickened adult, rendered helpless by a dislocated pinky. I was helpless. Luckily, I had my co-director with me. My favorite professor, Dr. Bob Dale's son, was in the group. And he called me that night to pray over my dislocated digit. He and I were friends, and he kidded me, and he said this. He said, Andy, I find it amazing my son still respects you. My son still respects you. Even after you got nauseated and didn't act too manly, he still respects you, Andy. Let's pray. And we prayed about it. And my finger was healed. Enough about that. Today I want to talk about stepping stones and stumbling blocks. Stepping stones and stumbling blocks. I encountered both of those on that day at the Eno River, which y'all know nothing about. The Eno River, I came across stumbling blocks and stepping stones. Stepping stones, those rocks that helped me navigate the river. They helped me to get across that river. They were assisting me. The rocks that assisted me in getting to the other side so I can continue the journey, so I could keep going. Those small boulders I could point to and say, this one is solid. This one I can stand on. This one will help me get across. And there were stumbling blocks, obviously, or in this case, stumbling rocks. Algae-covered stones that, when activated by water and moisture, turned into dangerous slick surfaces. Rocks that looked solid, but were not on solid footing. When you stepped on them, they swayed and they tilted. Rocks that were uninviting, they looked dangerous and they were, but you just wanted to see if you could maybe get across there, take a shortcut and take that dangerous rock, but you didn't. You fell in, I fell in. The stepping stone assists us in the journey and the crossing. The stepping stone assists us, helps us get across in the journey. The stumbling block deceives, hinders, and dislocates pinky fingers. It does those things. In the Christian life, we encounter both. We encounter both in human form. Stumbling blocks. We encounter stumbling blocks. You've probably encountered them before. People who may have all the answers. They have all the answers. They know everything. People who, when it comes to the faith, it's my way or the highway. You take it my way or it's no way at all. They can be judgmental and discouraging. They discourage people, telling them that there's no way they're going to make it because they're just not good enough. Kind of like the Pharisees that Jesus had to deal with. They had rules for everything, and it was just so discouraging to try to live the faith. They can be those who flaunt their Christian freedom or irritate the judgmental. They can be those folks who say they have the Christian freedom to do anything, and they irritate the judgmental folks. We have stumbling blocks, stepping stones, dedicated believers who allow the love of God and others to govern their every action, to allow the love of God and the love of others to govern every action. I care about you, therefore I want to help you in the journey. I want you to make it. I want you to be closer to God. They encourage people in their spiritual journey. They listen and at times refrain from preaching to someone who is seeking the way. We don't always have to preach to everybody. Sometimes we just have to listen and say, well, I don't agree with that, to yourself, but you know, we'll have time to talk about that. They earn the right to confront and challenge because they care for the person they're assisting. They earn the right to confront. You have to earn that right to let somebody know you care about them before you confront them. They realize they're a fellow struggler in themselves. I'm not telling you to be a cream puff or a sponge, but stepping stones get walked on. They get walked on. They put themselves lower on the priority list to help others get across. It's all about enriching and building up the kingdom of God on earth. That's what it's all about. It's about God. It's about his work in the world, not me. In our scripture today, Paul addresses the stumbling block in verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Don't be a stumbling block. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Don't let someone else determine what you'll be. You make the decision. That's the thing about our faith. We have decisions to make. Will you be a stepping stone or a stumbling block? And if you make the choice, you'll probably make somebody mad. There's a good chance that will happen. Make a conscious decision not to hinder one in their spiritual journey. Make sure you help them along the way. And out of the gate, Paul addresses judgment. Right from the get-go, he starts about talking about judgment because he knows we're good at that. We judge people. Judgment's a terrible thing, we may say, when we talk about it from the pulpit. It's a terrible thing. But I judge and you judge. We all judge. We can all be guilty at times. It's something that we have a problem with. The hungry person asking for help on the street. We don't know their situation. But we group them all in one big lump and say, well, we may be quick to say in passing, get a job, and then tell them about Jesus. By the way, you need Jesus. Maybe that's what we do. The most prevalent form of judgment comes when we categorize sin. We decide that some sins are better than others and some are worse than others. And we make a list of those sins and determine the acceptable ones. Determine the acceptable ones and confirm the ones that are unforgivable or forgivable. And we start doing God's job. We start doing God's job, weeding out the bad guys, looking for the bad people out there. That's not our job, no matter how holy we think we are, to judge. There are a number of disputables in our faith. Disputable things in our faith. They're things that we just can't quite agree on. They're out there. We got to acknowledge that. And we have to admit some people are more tolerant than others. Some people are more tolerant than other people are when it comes to differing opinions. Sometimes we can handle them, sometimes we can't. It just depends on the day. In other words, some people feel like they can wash their car on Sunday. It's relaxing for them. It's a form of relaxation. It's not our job to condemn or judge that person. Or if you're the car washer, it's not your job to say, attention everyone, I'm going out to wash my car right now. I don't care who you are and I don't care how I make mad, but I think I can do this. It's not your job. It's not what we do. Or those who have a problem with going to see a movie on Sunday. That used to be a big thing. I have a problem going to the theater on Sunday. The moviegoer doesn't need to say, I'm going to the movie, you want to go with me? When they know that person doesn't believe in that. And say, you need to go, it's rated R, you'll like it. I had a son who thought R meant real good. When I was a youth minister back 100 years ago, youth would stop by my house occasionally. One young person stopped by my house. It was not unusual for them to get into the refrigerator. That's just young people. One kid saw ginger ale in my refrigerator. Andy, do you drink ginger ale? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Andy, you drink ginger ale? I couldn't convince him I was not a person of questionable character. I couldn't convince him. He thought I was a drunk. He thought I had a problem with drinking. I tried to explain, but he would have none of it. I did not say, need to say this, young guy. Here, have a swig. It's good for you. I didn't need to do that. He had a problem with it. We could talk about it later. I didn't need to make an issue of it. He had a problem with ginger ale. Our goal as believers is not to hinder someone in their search for the truth of the gospel. It's not to hinder someone or not to flaunt our freedom in Christ. Paul is saying the law of love applies in all these situations, whether you tend to be judgmental or you tend to flaunt your freedom. The law of love is what applies. Do not use your freedom in Christ as a weapon to hurt another follower. Be patient. Don't use it as a weapon. Be patient. The word of our Savior Jesus Christ applies here. Matthew 16:8, a very important passage of Scripture. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and drown in the depths of the sea. Don't cause a person to stumble. Don't do that. Okay, so Paul says use your freedom. Don't use your freedom to cause another to betray his or her conscience. You may think some things are wrong that I don't think are wrong, or vice versa, or the vice versa, thus causing a brother or sister to sin. We want to be stepping stones. We want to be people that help others, leading and helping others in the quest for the Christ-like life. And we don't all get there at the same time. It's a process as we learn and as we grow. At times, that means we let the disputable stuff ride. We let it ride sometimes. We don't have to comment on it. We can just say, I hear you. And you may even want to say, I disagree with you, but we'll talk about it. And determine I have no right to enlighten them on Christian freedom when they would rather stay where they are in their thinking. Let God do his work. Let God do his work. And the person with a more narrow view or a narrow view of opinion must beware of judging another brother or sister with a differing view. If you have a narrower view or smaller view, you don't need to judge the other person. 100 years ago on the TV show Laugh In, how many are old enough to remember Laugh In? There's about 12 here. Here come the judge. You remember that? Sammy Davis Jr. came strutting in. Who knows who Sammy Davis Jr. is? Oh, we've got about 16 there. That's good. Here come the judge. And that was him. He was the judge. Sammy Davis Jr. was not the judge. You and I are not the judge. The judge is alive and well, and it's not you and it's not me. God is the judge. God is the judge. And he's doing a pretty good job of it, I think. He doesn't need our help. What Paul is saying is don't let your opinion in disputable matters be a cause for stumbling. Don't let your opinion be a rationale for judging or an insensitive statement pertaining to your freedom in Christ. Don't let that happen. Avoid that at all costs. Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 14. Verse 13 in the word appears, therefore. Therefore. Of course we need to look what the therefore is therefore. Paul, like most church leaders, often found himself as a referee. He was finding himself refereeing situations, called to negotiate disputables. He was the early church, the growing church. He was having to negotiate and referee fights between people about what the church could and couldn't do. There were gray areas in that church and in our church. We might even call them lower priority issues. We might even call them disputes that no one wins. No one wins many times. And the ultimate referee will be taken care of it in the sweet by and by. It'll happen. They're obviously Baptists because they were arguing over food. They're talking about food. So I think I can get a dispute started this morning. I'm going to get fired up this morning. Are you ready? Who likes liver mush? Okay. I'm your pastor. I've read Leviticus. You're not supposed to eat that stuff. It says anything. Well, it says a lot in Leviticus. I'm eating half of what it says you can, but I've decided liver mush is my soapbox. You don't need to eat liver mush because it needs an Alpo label on it. No eating liver mush. So I'm making that profession here from the pulpit. Your pastor at least deserves to tell you that you don't need to eat liver mush. Okay, let the games begin. The liver mush eaters are non-Christians. The liver mush non-eaters are the Christians here. All right, who doesn't eat liver mush? All right, y'all, we got a fight going here. We're going to make something out of this. Let's say the dispute escalates. It gets big. It starts getting big. It becomes a matter of life, death, and Christian freedom. Liver mush, the liver mush fight at Poplar Springs. Did you hear about it? Heard about it at Hardee's the other day. They're fighting over liver mush over there. So a member of Poplar Springs decides to send out an invitation to the liver mush party. Andy is the weaker brother who says, you can't eat that stuff. I'm judging you for doing that. But this person says, I've got the freedom to eat liver mush. So they say, a liver mush party will be held at the home of Aaron and Downey Hinton today. Come as you are. Bring your own liver mush. BYOL. M. That ought to get the preacher real good. That ought to get the preacher real good. Let's look at what Paul has to say. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, even liver mush. But another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant to his own master? He stands or falls, or he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. But the issue is further complicated. It's not as simple as it seems. For many, Paul included, he didn't have a problem with eating meat sacrificed to idols. That's what we were talking about here. In one particular instance, there was meat sacrificed to idols. Paul didn't have a problem with that. It was good meat and it was going to waste. It had been sacrificed in a futile attempt to please a piece of wood or a chiseled piece of stone, an idol. He didn't see it as being that important. That's why he said, let's eat. Let's eat. But for others, it was food used in pagan worship. It was used in pagan worship. It was tainted. It was evil. It was not to be eaten by the genuine follower of Christ. So we have a problem there. Paul had two options. Option one, make the biggest hamburger you can make. Put lettuce, tomato, chili, onion, slaw, and mustard. Make a big one. Get in front of the narrow-minded group and chomp down. Look at me. Got slaw juice coming down my elbows. I'm going to eat this thing. Get in front of the narrow-minded group and chomp down. Or he could choose to forego the show. He could choose to forego the show. Not make a scene and partake in the burger. I may be stretching it a little bit, but maybe he wants to have that, enjoy that burger in the confines of his home. He may want to do that. He doesn't need to make a show of it just because he has the freedom to do so. Paul wrote in Romans 14:15-17, if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. If he's distressed by what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy the brother whom Christ died for. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about priorities. Paul continues in verses 20 and 21. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes his brother to stumble. Is it better not to eat meat or drink wine? It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. That's confining us a little bit. It calls for sacrifice a little bit. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. So I've started more questions that have answers here. Are we supposed to be people who just look at everybody and say, I'm going to do what you want me to do? No, but we need to be considerate of other people. Considerate of other people, out of love. Considerate of them. Realizing there are differences of opinion. The stepping stone does not insist on making a show of its freedom in front of a developing Christian. Doesn't make a show of it. Doesn't make a show of it. Doesn't feel the need to be the judge and jury as a developing Christian seeks understanding. We're all seeking understanding. Beware of judging. Stepping stone is a listener, seeking the best for other Christians on the journey. The stepping stone practices discernment in choosing battles. Choosing battles, that's difficult, but it's discernment in choosing those battles. Confronts as a last resort, not as a first response. That's a biggie. Sometimes when we have a difference of opinion, the first thing is to destroy that person. Let's talk about it, tell them how bad they are. But maybe listen a little bit and confront as a last resort, not as a first response. Stepping stone has love of God and love of others as his motivation or her motivation. Jesus Christ is our model in this endeavor. Jesus is the model. He gave of himself, and in doing so, we have forgiveness of sin, we have strength to live every day, and we have life in the future, life in eternity with God. Those are the wonderful things we have in Jesus Christ. He wants the best of us for us. He wants the best for the weaker brothers, and we're all weaker brothers and sisters at some point. He does not force his views on anyone, but instead trusts the power of God to change those he came into contact with. The power of God. He was truthful, honest, compassionate, and caring. Jesus is the perfect Son of God, And he has patience with us, and we should have patience with others. He listens to our concerns and our questions. He walks with us in our struggles. Jesus is the stepping stone, the stepping stone, the real stepping stone. He's satisfying and secure in our life, here and in the hereafter. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Do you know him? Would you like to take the step today? Would you like to take the big step today to follow him in faith, to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Maybe the Lord is speaking to you today. If that be the case, make a decision where you are and tell us about it. Tell us about the wonderful decision. I pray that your church or family will be assisting you as you need other stepping stones, not the stepping stone, which is Jesus Christ, but we can be stepping stones to help you in your journey. Vow to be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. Let's pray together. Father, we accept the challenge, or I accept the challenge, to be a stepping stone. There are those I disagree with very much, but I know that, Father, I need the motivation needs to be love and the disagreement. Father, there are so many disputables in our faith. One thing is not disputable. Jesus Christ is Lord. We keep that in mind. But also there are many opinions. And Father, we have to struggle with that. And perhaps this scripture today has brought about more questions than answers. But help us, God, to struggle with the questions and learn how we can best bring others to Christ, because that's what we're called to do. Help us to do that with you in mind, that you are our Lord and Savior, and you can enable us to do anything. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
Oh, Church family and everyone watching from wherever you are, we're glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. Want to remind you that Sharon Carey, who gave our community a prayer this morning, is our Deacon of the Week. If you cannot reach anybody on staff or at the office, you can call Sharon. She'll be happy to assist you this week. And I want to remind you, as Andy said in his sermon, that if you have made a decision for Christ, if you have rededicated your life, if there is a decision that needs to be made in our church, we want you to let us know about that. Please reach out. If you're online, you can let us know in the comments or you can send us a message. You can call the church. Just reach out to us. We would love to hear about any decisions that you've made and be able to walk with you through that. Would you join me as we pray before we depart? God, we thank you for yet another day to be in your house. And God, we thank you for the hope that we have of seeing our lives come back to a little bit of normalcy. God, as we walk through this coming week, may we be stepping stones for those whom we encounter. God, may we point others to your love and your grace. May we be salt and light in this world. God, we love you, and we thank you for walking with us each and every day. And it is in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday.